This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Nick, Barry, Joel in studio on a Tuesday. Oh, Lord, fellas.
What's up?
Way back Wednesday tomorrow. It always comes to me when I do that. So we have to kind of mindfully think of a theme if we need to. It depends a lot on what happens tonight, probably. But we were talking Chiefs-Texans before the break, so we might as well stick with that theme. Cameron wants to get in here on big game this weekend. Cameron, what's up?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's good, up, man? How are you?
Good. So I wanted to touch base on the Patrick Mahomes and our secondary. Getting pressure on Patrick Mahomes is a must, but if we're going to get him outside the pocket, we need to get him down on the ground because Patrick Mahomes scrambling is just as scary as him being in the pocket. With Jonathan Joseph in the back end, it's just a scary thought. Watching him scramble, you know what he can do on his feet and how he can throw the ball, sidearm, and all that good stuff. We need to get him on the ground quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Okay, Cam, appreciate the call. Look, one thing to keep in mind on that thought is he got dinged up in this game against the Colts. One, the Colts gave you a lot of blueprints to work with in terms of what was effective for them. But more importantly, to his point about get him on the ground, he got stepped on after he got his ankle messed up. So he's got a couple of different issues with his leg that's going to affect his mobility, whether he wants to admit it or not. And no matter what it felt like during the game, it's going to feel much worse this week when it has a chance to have all that, just everything set in and the adrenaline come out of it. But you're right. I mean, and Jonathan Joseph is one key. The other key is going to be the safeties, as you mentioned, Barry, because you got one that's going to have to guard Kelsey, and the other one in Reed that's going to have to come up and ad lib and stop Patrick Mahomes and kind of shadow him while he's coming up to protect against the run. So the secondary is definitely going to be tested regardless of what condition he's in.
If I set the over-under at total passing yards between these two offenses at 800, what would you take?
Over.
Under.
You take the over?
I'm taking the over.
I'll take the under for sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if each of these teams threw for 450 yards. Yeah.
Oh, maybe. No, yeah, that means, might be
that means
too
both,
high.
Both offenses throw for 400.
I think it's going to be over 600. I don't think it's going to get to 800. I think conceivably both guys throw for 300 plus.
Okay.
I'd say 600 is where I'd go. Over 600. You're right. 800 is too high.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see.
So, Mahomes threw for 320 against the Colts.
Yep.
And what did Deshaun rip off against
four Bills? Did he?
Yeah, 426 against the Falcons. Falcons third worst secondary. KC worst secondary. Texans up there.
Yeah,
that's why I set it at 800 because I think both of these secondaries are pretty off.
Now on the flip side too, we're talking about the Texans secondary in the back end with the safeties, but think about the fact too that once Tyrann Mathieu left, he didn't exactly mince words on what he thought about the locker room, the culture, everything about the Texans. He's going to have an axe to grind, too. So when he comes up from his safety position, if you're Carlos Hyde, if you're Duke Johnson, if you're those receivers, you better have your head on a swivel, too, because he's going to be bringing the wood at some guys in a hurry.
Speaking of tight ends, how about the fact that the Texans utilizing their tight ends for a change? Yep. I kind of like seeing that as well.
Aiken and
Wrinkle, right?
Yeah, they were involved. And we said from day one that in order for Deshaun to be effective and not hold the ball too long, use your safety valves, whether it be the back out of the backfield or the tight end. And you're right. To see them finally use the tight ends.
Darren Fells, two targets, two touchdowns,
yep,
20 yards total. That's a pretty good day at the office.
Fells and Aiken, look, they can play if they just get the opportunity. And you got to have opportunities by your quarterback being willing to dump down and take positives. You have the opportunity when you scramble around to make a big play. You also have the opportunity to get caught, not have anybody open, and lose yardage. Thankfully, Deshaun's checkdowns were something that he went to and realized it may not be the gain I want, but even 2 or 3 yards positive is better than a 12-yard loss, a sack, or a turnover.
Yeah, amen to that.
So definitely things to keep an eye on. Ashton, you want to get in here too on the Texans. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's been a long time since I had a chance to call in, but I just wanted to point out one thing in particular. You mentioned the secondary being a huge issue. There's one player in particular that kind of had like a breakout game a couple games ago, and then it's kind of disappeared since then. Mecole Hardman is going to be a big problem for what the Texans are doing, playing their like third wide receiver position overall. When it's really said and done. But I mean, we talk about how the Texans secondary is kind of led by Jonathan Joseph, but overall, like they're not playing very well, and Jonathan Joseph is really struggling to stay in front of like elite wide receivers, which of course puts more strain on the safeties who have really been struggling all season long. So I'll be interested to see what he does. And then I don't know if you guys have anything to say about this, but it seems like Bernardrick McKinney has kind of regressed this season, and I know it's going to be a big deal when it comes to trying to defend Travis Kelce, because it'll come down to whether or not it's going to be a safety in a corner or if it's going to be a safety and a linebacker that have to combo up against the best tight end in the NFL. And he could possibly just blow it wide open for the Chiefs and make their terrible defense not actually be a factor.
Yeah, Kelsey's always been a problem for the Texans. Let's be real. Travis Kelce has always torched the Texans.
Yeah,
tight ends have been a good tight end. Has there always been an Achilles heel for this Texans team? But, you know, again, that's why in part they went out and got a Tashaun Gibson. So we're going to see if he earns his money. I don't think you hold Travis Kelce down. I don't care who's out there. You could have Ronnie Lott out there. Travis Kelce's going to get his. So I think you just try to minimize the damage. Like you said, guys like Mecole Hardman and the rest of that offense, if you can limit it and you can hold them down. But, man, he is right about Jonathan Joseph. The fact that he has to play 10, 12 yards off the ball just about every time. Because he's slower.
Yeah, and think about
big issue.
Yeah, he's faced Julio Jones. He's faced and think about the big games that other opponents' receivers have had, and the Los Angeles game, the Chargers game, Keenan Allen, and they really had to make adjustments in the second half because he was just getting torched so much. And now you think about a guy like Tyreek Hill coming back. Well, God forbid you put Jonathan Joseph on him, because now, to your point, you may be better off trying. I'm sure they'll try Roby, but even at least Lonnie Johnson's got more speed than Jonathan Joseph. Yeah, I was going
to say, no way you put Jonathan Joseph on Tyreek Hill.
No, their secondary, as bad as you're saying Atlanta's is and Kansas City's is, Texans' secondary is not very much better than either one of those two.
No, I'm trying to see where they were ranked. They're 11th in passing yards allowed, 252 a game.
Roby's going to have to step up. You're going to have to use some experience. You're going to have to give a lot of good advice to a guy like Johnson if you're going to have him involved. But the fact that if you even think about putting Jonathan Joseph, Romeo Crennel, and you put Jonathan Joseph anywhere near Tyreek Hill if he plays, or even for that matter, Sammy Watkins is probably liable to go off. So those are things that you just can't take that risk. You've got to cut your losses as much as you can. And I'm sure they'll try and cover a lot of things up, and zone schemes are going to be involved. God forbid you go man-to-man because you're That's just asking for trouble.
Yeah, that's not going
to
be pretty.
I'm not sure they're going to be able to get away with a lot of the mistakes that they made against the Falcons team, against the Chiefs, because you had, three false starts against Sharping, and DeAndre Carter had a couple of brain farts. He had the muffed punt and the fumble. Those type of mistakes I don't think is going to be as forgiving against the Chiefs squad. So I think those are two things that you got to point, two players that, you know, need to be pointed out going into this Chiefs game. They cannot have three false start penalties against this team.
Yeah, they got to clean up the stuff that could bite them in the butt because you're playing a really good opponent. And you're right. Those great observations, because I remember notating when I knew we weren't going to talk about it, but notating Carter's muff. But that from a Sharping perspective, for as much praise as he's been getting about smart player, really making, you know, he saved the touchdown against the Chargers by the backward pass, by making the tackle, recovered a fumble. You know, he's done some good things, but he regressed a little bit in terms of penalties kill you. And those kind of penalties are just common sense mental penalties that you got to work on. So, yeah, I mean, obviously you're hoping you're in a game that's close enough that turnovers and whoever turns the ball over and whoever minimizes the mistakes the most are in a position to win. But if they don't address the secondary and tighten some things up, it might not be a close enough game where it matters that much.
Yeah.
Well, so it's another big game. It's another big week for a Texans team that, look, when we did our predictions before the season started, we had them with one win coming into this game. The fact that they're in the position they're in, but you also have to factor in, you're in a division that's nip and tuck, that's super tight, and the Colts just beat the Chiefs. So if you want to keep pace with the Colts,
I don't understand the Colts. That's scary. I don't, with Jacoby Brissett at the helm, this Colts team just they hang around. They beat teams like the Chiefs. I mean,
But obviously New England sees something in their younger quarterbacks they've actually spent draft picks on in the past, because you look at what Garoppolo did last night. You look at the fact that, you know, he looks like he's the real deal. And the Colts obviously saw enough in Brissett that whether Luck was there or not, they knew that this wasn't your average backup for a lifetime quarterback. This was a guy that could have an impact as a starter if he's called on, and he's proven that. He was a great game manager the other night. And look, they were effective with their running game. And Mac was incredible behind a fantastic offensive line. Chris Ballard, Lance Zierlein's buddy, the GM of the Colts, should get a boatload of credit, because it was easy to take Nelson high, but Costanzo and the guy and the way he's constructed what used to be a very bad offensive line is the key to why they are as effective as they are with Brissett and the other guys.
I mean, you look at this whole division and it's average at best at everybody being 2-2, but the way that the Jags are playing with Minshew at the helm and the way the Colts are playing with Jacoby Brissett at the helm, and then you've got, you know, Mariota out there in Tennessee where, okay, you realize what he is now, but everyone, you look at this division and it's flipped. It used to be that the Texans were the only team without a good quarterback or one that had potential, and now they're the only one with a solid, you know, upper echelon quarterback, and they're just right there in the middle of the pack with everybody else. So hats off to every team in this division, because Tennessee is playing well with their defense as well.
But they crapped the bed. Their kicker missed 4 field goals. He's now unemployed. Yeah. They need a new kicker. And you know that offensively they're never going to knock your socks off. But, you know, Brissett and Minshew make the South a respectable division in terms of quarterback play. But you're right. The cream of the crop should be and is Deshaun Watson right now. And that's why it's so important. I really believe, whether he admits it publicly or not, and I don't expect him to admit it, but I believe that he's got a lot of personal reasons why he wants to outplay Mahomes on Sunday.
You think so?
I do. I really do. I think because, you know, he has aspirations of being one of the greats, not just of his generation or of the game right now. He wants to be one of the greats, and where he's compared right now is a draft class that, sure, you throw Trubisky out of there and say the Bears were idiots to trade up to get him that high, but the two class of the draft quarterbacks that are going to be within 2 picks of each other, always compared, Watson and Mahomes.
That's a good point. I didn't really think about that, but yeah, I mean, this is the head-to-head. You know, and I'm sure there'll be, I mean, obviously there's going to be more battles between the two of them down the stretch, but something to prove on both ends.
I believe so, for sure.
Hey guys, football season, smack dab in the middle of it now. And if you've been thinking about getting action on games, man, I suggest you go check out MyBookie. MyBookie.ag is the place to get action on games online. They're safe. They're reliable. And what I like about it most is, man, you absolutely get your money faster than anybody else out there is going to pay you. Nobody pays out faster than MyBookie. You get your cash when you want it. They have odds on all the games out there. They have more prop bets than any other sports book. And they got parlays and teasers and everything else under the sun that you could imagine. It's fun to play. And when you win, you get paid because you want your money. That's the whole reason you're doing this, right? Along with the fun, you want to get paid. And you can trust MyBookie to pay you. We've had listeners that have texted the show and said, man, I had $1,000 in my account and had no problem getting it out. I challenge you to find another sports book that pays faster than MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. And don't play with some no-name sports book. This is your money. Don't risk it. They might be fine, but chances are you're going to have problems. And get your money, get it out, and enjoy it. That's what this is all about. MyBookie is the best in the business. So when you bet, bet smart. And if you sign up today, they're going to double your first deposit. That's up to $1,000 in free money to wager at your leisure. So go sign up right now. Use that promo code radio, and they're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000. It's mybookie.ag, promo code radio. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the first half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Lots of fan participation today. Oh, by the way, before we go any further, I do want to give some shout-outs and some love to the fact that we all were able to go as a show to the game, particularly on Friday. Had a great time. As part of that, we were able to interact with suspects that heard we were going to be at the game, got in contact with us through social media and otherwise, and we were able to interact with some of the fans. You suspects are fantastic.
Yeah.
And whether you know it or not, whatever, regardless of whatever impact you say we have on you, you truly had it on me, and I think I speak for all three of us, the fact that what we were able to experience being out in that environment with suspects as part of the fan base was incredible.
Yeah, it was really cool. Shout out to Jerry.
Yep.
Driver for Home Depot. Home Depot. We got to meet him right out in front of one of the stores. Went and got to go beat Chris out at Torchy's.
Yep.
Manager that was cool. Yep. Several people just out and about, hanging out, came up and said what's up. Very cool.
The fact that Jerry reacted the way he did and the way he said it had an impact on me just by saying, you know, this is really happening. And we're like, we all just think we're just guys talking.
Right? When he saw you, right?
And he got goosebumps. When he showed us the goosebumps, I was like, I said to Lisa when I got home at night, I was like, that was the most awesome. Sure, the game was great and everything about it was an amazing day. But the fact that Jerry said that, showed us that, and told us what an impact we have on him listening to us every day, that was amazing.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, very, very cool stuff. Shout out to all you guys. We appreciate you guys listening, especially those that reached out to us at the games this weekend. So there you have that.
I do have an announcement to make before we move on, because we'll take Aggie Joe's call, too.
Are you supporting Hong Kong?
Yes, I would like to come out in support of Hong Kong.
Okay, just check.
I have done that several times already. In fact, I'm getting trolled by people who are like, you're a liberal. Oh, yeah, sorry my tweets about freedom and democracy hurt your feelings, staunch Republican conservative. Sorry about that, Mr. I'm pro-Constitution, but then you're mad when someone says that they're pro-democracy. Kiss my ass, you weirdo. I do want to say that we talked about there being a diaper drive for you.
Uh-huh.
And my intentions were to start it on October 1st, best laid plans and whatnot. But here we are, and the diaper drive is live.
Oh, is it?
We are a full go. Pink Valkyrie's already got stuff going on. I wanted to tell the suspects that if you wanted to get in on Joel's diaper drive, because we're just doing it across the board, here's the plan. One, you can just bring diapers up to the station. That's no problem.
You did today. Thank you very much.
You can drop them off, and Esme will make sure that Joel gets the diapers. But the other way is, if you don't want to make the trip or you're lazy or whatever, I have established a GoFundMe that you can just donate the money. And like the box I bought was like 160-something diapers at Sam's for like $40 plus tax.
That's awesome.
So it's not bad. And so any amount works. I'm going to take all the money that's in the GoFundMe, and I'll go to Sam's at the end of the month when it's over with, and I'll just buy diapers. So I set the goal at $400. That's to what, 10 boxes of diapers?
That'd be great.
And I plan to buy, you know, different sizes.
Yeah, definitely. That's the key.
0 to 3 months, 3 to 6 months, 6 to 12 months, and all that. I don't know how babies work, but whatever.
Well, and the thing is, and I believe that's so awesome and so appreciated, because they had a daddy diaper dry party for me the first time. And so I said to Lisa, a lot of people are asking me, are you registered somewhere? And she goes, oh, for the second baby, you don't do a baby shower, you don't do a diaper drive, and you don't do any kind of registry. And I go, no, I don't think that's the case. Now, one, obviously, as the head of the household thinking about finances, I'm going, every little bit helps. But also, I was like, why has the rules changed from baby one to baby two?
Yeah, that does seem weird.
And why would you have people that are going to end up getting you a gift anyway, get you something you don't want, as opposed to something that you need, so you register. So finally, I got her to go on like Target.com and register for stuff
good.
That she had wanted. But when you think about the diapers alone that you go through from a newborn on,
crazy.
Oh my God, I appreciate you guys so much, because I remember the last time, like, we had a friend of the family say, hey, their daughter was having a child, can we get a couple things of diapers? And the husband drove up a truck when I wasn't home, and I had them all stored nicely in the garage, and all of a sudden they were gone. And what? I'm like, what happened? And Lisa goes, oh, I didn't look. I just said they could take a few. I said, they took them all.
Wow. How many diapers does a baby go through in a day?
Man, with a newborn?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about how often they crap and sleep and wake up.
I'm asking, how often is that?
I'm not going to say I'm an expert, but I say it's got to be like eight.
Eight a day?
I would think maybe up to eight.
Because they're changing.
A day.
Yeah. They're changing them like every hour, every 2 hours.
Man, yeah. That's way and more than I poop. That is way more than I poop.
They're, no doubt.
I'm glad I'm not a baby. Small.
But they just think about it, they're up and waking up and feeding every couple hours.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm not a baby. That's a lot of pooping. I mean, so 8 a day, and then when do they stop wearing diapers? At what age? And I know
if you're lucky, between 2 and 3 when they're potty trained.
Oh my God! Now I know it scales back as they're 1 year old and 2 year old. They're not pooping 8 times a day, right?
No, it gets better.
It's half of that, maybe.
But like the one thing that also scares me is that everybody that I've talked to, or most people, the consensus is the second baby is going to be the exact opposite of the first baby. The one factor, and I don't care about the pooping, I don't mind changing diapers, all that, but I'm going to tell you fellas right now, the one factor I hope she keeps, baby number two, mm-hmm. is keep the same sleep schedule. Taylor slept through the night starting at 3 months.
Nice.
Because those first 3 months, when you're up someone's got to be up every 2 hours rocking her and changing her and feeding her. The sleep deprivation is, I dread it. So if I could say one factor.
Sleep.
Just make sure you sleep through the night. That'd be great.
All right. So I put the link to the diaper drive on Twitter. @BarryIsFunny. I tweeted it out. If you don't have Twitter or you still want to donate, the link is real simple. It's GoFundMe.com/babyblank. BabyBlank.
I appreciate you. That's GoFundMe. Fantastic.
GoFundMe.com/babyblank. I just set the goal at 400. Whatever we get is whatever we get. That's not, I had to put it in a goal. And I thought, well, it. 10 boxes at $40, that's the goal. And when at the end of the month, we'll keep pushing this all month. At the end of the month, I'm going to go buy diapers. And,
you guys are awesome. I appreciate it. And at some point, we'll do the name reveal, too, because I found out indirectly that the baby has a name.
Nice.
So, at some point, we'll get to that. All right, we got plenty more to get to. Lots more on your mind, obviously, as people have chimed in on everything from the Texans to Daryl Morey and the Rockets to lots of other things, including the game that was last night and games coming up this week. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter. Second half's coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half starting right now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We've covered a lot of ground today, talked about a lot of topics, but seeing as we have Doug on hold, and he's going to want to talk about the Daryl Morey Rocket situation, the one thing that I was saying to you guys during the break, and I really think this is the case, we don't realize what we're dealing with the Chinese government because we live in a democracy like the United States. I really believe, as much as they canceled this school dedication that the Nets were going to do yesterday in China, that it's going to be interesting with LeBron and the Lakers due to arrive today. I really believe that the Chinese government may cancel that game, and just to make a statement and show you in their mind who's boss when you're dealing with international basketball in their country. This is a totally different government situation, a different setup, and I think just as easily as it is to cancel the G League game or games and the school dedications and things like that, they will have no problem, no qualms about canceling the Nets Lakers games.
You don't think so?
I don't think if they're already willing to say for the huge NBA fan base in China that they will no longer show those games, at least for the short term, we don't know how long that's going to last. That's a hell of a statement to make in terms of, look, broadcast entities are great and they're making money, but at the end of the day, we'll show you who's in control.
Yeah, and I think it's weird because when you look at it for us on this side of the pond, it's about basketball, but over there that's secondary. It's about government, right? It's about loyalty to the People's Republic of China and all that. So two very different philosophies. I think over here they're worried about how this makes their government look, and over here we're worried about how much money does this cost billionaires.
Yeah, and I think you made a great point earlier too in the fact that when you talk about this and you talk about the impact that it has and the way the government pits this, I don't think people are looking at the big picture big enough. I think that this brought a lot of information to a lot of people that wouldn't have gotten it otherwise, because without Daryl's tweet, without people were going, well, what's going on in Hong Kong? What am I missing here? And then they probably dug a little deeper. They did a Google search. They tried to find out, well, what's the real issues? Because otherwise, I think you were spot on in saying most basketball fans, most NBA fans, most Rockets fans had no idea what Daryl was talking about until the tweet came out. So there was a level of a heightened awareness because of what he put out there.
Yeah. And I think that was part of his point. But, boy, the ramifications.
I don't think he had any idea.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, we said Doug was on hold. Doug, you want to talk about this Daryl Morey situation. Doug, what's up?
Hello, how are you guys? Man, I listen to you guys every day, and I really appreciate you. You're a big part of my day.
Thanks, Doug.
With that said, I don't expect you to take an opinion either way on this issue, but with all of the fallout, the blackout of the games, the loss of revenue, sponsorships, do you really think Daryl Morey could be fired?
We kind of addressed it,
covered that,
but. Earlier in the fact that I really believe that he'll survive this, but I think that the wild card is just how big of an issue this not only has become, but how deep the ramifications are from a league perspective.
Yeah. And I think too, I don't think he'll be fired, but I mean, you could see where if this team just falls apart or something like that, this could be the catalyst for putting him on a hot seat. But I don't think necessarily he would be fired over this. But like you said, if this ends up costing the NBA and Tillman Fertitta hundreds of millions of dollars, sometimes heads have to roll. And if this was the catalyst and the spark of it all, it wouldn't surprise me.
But it also, fellas, when we're talking about this, would it surprise you at all when I say that I believe that Daryl Morey would have a job probably within 6 months to a year?
No.
Because if you look at what Antonio Brown did and continued to do, and he continued to get opportunities and have jobs, the fact that his head would roll and he'd be the sacrificial lamb, it would be the loss of the Houston Rockets. Just as much as they're losing millions right now because of what he said, you're also going to lose a guy that's really good at his job. And he's going to go somewhere else, and he's going to do the same kind of job for another franchise. Just having that lesson learned, he doesn't pay the price because he's still going to make his big-time money with a multiple-year deal to sign with a new team. The franchise and the Rockets pay the price.
Yeah,
for a stupid comment, you know, that, or I shouldn't say that, a comment that he made that he didn't think through, that in a lot of ways pissed off ownership, the league, and became a comment that you think he would pay the price, but it's going to be the Rockets franchise that pays the price.
Isn't it funny that a comment about a comment made using free speech is being in China, it's being controlled. And that's kind of the whole point of the comment, was supporting Hong Kong and their advance towards democracy and their fight for democracy and freedom. And yet you've got a lot of people that are kowtowing to China and trying to placate them because they are against this freedom of speech. It's a weird, ironic almost kind of situation that's taking place.
Yeah, it really is. And again, I say that it's not a stupid stance to take from Daryl's perspective, and that's why I didn't want to say that. It was just not smart to tweet out without thinking through all of the different ramifications that a tweet like that could have.
So. Yeah.
I think the other thing is that when you have the commissioner didn't necessarily sound like he was against Daryl Morey. He actually sounded like there was some support there. And I thought his comments were pretty interesting, and I like what he said.
We are not apologizing for Daryl exercising his freedom of expression. I regret, again, having communicated directly with many friends in China, that so many people are upset, including millions and millions of our fans.
Yeah, and then he went on to say that he and Yao and Daryl were going to sit down. And I think that would be, to be a fly on the wall for that conversation would be really, really interesting. Because I think, again, behind closed doors, if those three have a conversation, there's no doubt in my mind that Yao tells you, hey, look, I get what you were trying to do, and I understand, and you and I are friends. But understand, from my perspective, in my chair, with the role that I carry with the Chinese Basketball Association, and also with the role, the torch that I carry for my country, I can't support you. I can't, this was bad. And again, I think those are the kind of conversations that happen behind closed doors. The mistake was Daryl probably had conversations with people behind closed doors where he was able to voice his opinions on Hong Kong. he just decided he made the huge mistake of making it a public thing for him in Twitter.
The crazy thing is think about this now. You're talking about the difference in decades, right? I mean, you grew up in the 80s when Russia, communist Russia, mm-hmm. the USSR, was, you know, the number one threat to freedom and democracy the world over. I'm not suggesting that China is that necessarily, but could you imagine in 1986 if a GM had tweeted something about the Ukraine and wanting and freedom for the Ukraine from the USSR? Could you imagine if there would have been any kind of backlash supporting the USSR or placating their stance on it? This just wouldn't have occurred.
Yeah, right.
It just would not have occurred. So it gives you a peek into how far our society has come, and the fact that the almighty dollar is first and foremost in a lot of minds. There's no way that everyone back in the 80s would have been so totally pro that kind of tweet. And yeah, screw Russia, screw the communists. We want freedom. We want democracy for everybody in the world. And we're just not at that point anymore. And that kind of baffles me. This is why I was, you know, tweeted what I tweeted so many times about it, because I'm actually kind of ashamed at how many people are out there that are like, oh, I get it. You know, he shouldn't have said anything. Yes, he should have. Absolutely, he should have said something. Everybody should be saying something. And everybody should be saying, hey, China, we're sorry that you don't agree with this, but we live in America, and this is our ideal belief.
But again, Barry, you say that, and I get it.
I don't think he should have said anything.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can say that you have a personal opinion. We all have our own personal beliefs. But I think that it's one thing to say he has an opinion. But when he voiced that opinion, you're entitled to voice your opinion. And you said he should voice that opinion. But in voicing that opinion, is he willing to lose his job? Because in today's society, with the political hot button of everything politics that we've talked about, I just think that he should have said nothing at all and kept his personal beliefs personal, unless there was something to gain from it. Because I don't know what him tweeting that out was going to gain from that. But he didn't, obviously, as we talked about, he didn't think through, regardless of it's just his one personal opinion, how deep that could go in terms of the fallout.
So you're telling me that public figures can't and shouldn't use their platform?
Not saying that at all, but I'm saying that be very, statements. Very cognizant of when you do it, the fallout that may happen from it that you may not like and may not be, but and it may not be fair and it may not be right, but it's going to be what's going to happen.
Well, no, that's a great point. It's not fair. It's not right, because that's my point.
Right.
Is by not saying anything, you're basically saying that you would rather not upset China. And that goes back to my point in the 80s. Could you imagine if anyone had taken that stance against the USSR? Well, we won't say anything because we don't want to upset them. That's how Red Dawn happens. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
I love that movie. See? And we're going to end up with and then they remake it and use China as the new Russia?
I think ISIS or something like that? Yeah.
See? This is all. It's going to be Red Dawn all over again if Daryl Morey doesn't say what he says freedom.
That's what I was going to say. It's a passionate take and a passionate statement. But are you more passionate about your statement than your job? Because in a lot of cases, when you do make it public like this, you just have to realize, look, it's great that you're as passionate as you are and you're going to make that statement, you're going to make a stance, but realize as part of the stance, there's a pretty big price to pay.
And when I show you pictures like this, where there are Hong Kong citizens surrounded by three police officers in full riot gear getting beat up.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You wonder why he says something. And then that's why it baffles me that people are actually willing to say, oh, we're sorry. We didn't mean to cost the NBA a sport. A game. We didn't mean to cost them millions of dollars because we wanted to take up for these people that are actually out in the streets protesting and being beaten up by police. That at some point we have to get past money and sports and talk about humanity.
It's wrong, but at the same time, when you use to voice your opinion, like I said, you have a forum, you have a platform, and use it, but use it wisely. Because again, at the end of the day, you have to be willing to pay the price and take a sacrifice too. And you know, he's going to probably survive this.
You said, if I'm Daryl Morey, I know that there are plenty of other teams that'll hire me, especially ones in the middle of the country. Now, you know, if you're out in Golden State, obviously that's a big Asian market as well, mm-hmm. with ties to Asia and China and all. So maybe not them, but you know, someone in the middle of Indiana. I don't think Indiana's worried about losing money in China.
The Rockets, the Pacers franchise don't care. And their fan base are going to be the ones that pay the price if he would lose his job, because he'd get another job and make the money from somebody else real quick. But you lose a guy that at his job he's very, very good at, and the only reason why he's not still with your franchise would be because of something outside of his job in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that's interesting, and Nick, you dealt with Popovich more than most, but I'm surprised between Popovich and Steve Kerr, these guys who've been so anti-Trump and outspoken about political issues, they're really, really overly quiet, and that tells you how much the almighty dollar
Pop
speaks.
I don't get. Kerr I can kind of get, because there's a massive following for the Warriors in China, a big portion of the people that watch.
But he's been so outspoken about so many things politically. It's crazy that they're all of a sudden quiet.
And maybe it's a situation where they're just letting things play out and letting the story, because we don't know where the end game is. We need at least another week or two before we really see what the real ramifications are. And then we can start talking about, you know, why other people are being so quiet. And I think that's what they're waiting on. I mean, at least Adam Silver, the commissioner, the face of the NBA, has taken a stance. And has he, though? Yeah, he said, if you don't apologize, but we regret our comments, we don't apologize.
We'll
do the best
said,
we can to keep our interests with China. I mean, what else is he going
to
say?
I'm just saying, he kind of rode the fence by saying Daryl has the right to say whatever he wants, but then kind of backtracked on saying, but look, you know, with our friends in China, we don't want to affect that either, because he doesn't want to have the games not being shown and lost all that revenue. So, I mean, it's a tough spot for him to be in too, because of the fact that, you know, you want to be able to, you can't go against the freedom of speech and to be able to voice your opinion, but you also realize that from an ownership group that you're in charge of, and from a league perspective, it's not just millions, it's a $1 billion potential loss.
Yeah, I think people are trying to compare this to Kaepernick and those protests, and in some ways at a macro level, I think that this is kind of similar. But I think that you're talking about differences of opinion at a different level when it comes to those protests, because I think the line is, well, you're kneeling during our national anthem, which is your right to do that, but it's disrespecting the military. And, you know, the other side is saying, well, no, it's not intended to. And in this case, it's a very basic, like, support Hong Kong is meaning support democracy for Hong Kong. That's a very basic. So either you're for that, or you're willing to stay silent about it.
I think
it.
The only reason why when we were talking earlier too about that, where it came up with the kneeling situation, was to show how the owners are going to put the revenue and the mighty dollar over anything else. That's what they're thinking about.
How many teams, though, and you've talked about it before with the Rockets, and I'm not just picking on the Rockets. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams do this, right? They're trying to control the narrative. And when they try to control the narrative, perhaps if a story that's published by ESPN or any one of these beat writers makes their franchise be put under a negative light, what do? They try to go to these writers and try to get them to take down the stories. It's the same thing with China. They're trying to control the narrative. These are the guys that they pay, you know, they have a great relationship with, pay thousands, millions of dollars to the NBA and the Houston Rockets to, and now all of a sudden you're taking a stance against us. They're trying to control the narrative just like any other NBA team, and now politics is being involved. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. They're trying to control the narrative. They didn't like it, and now they took a stance. I mean, Rockets do this all the time. Warriors do all these NBA teams, they do this all the time. When there's something is being presented about their team in a negative light, They want that to disappear as quickly
as
possible.
And they want someone to kibosh it. You're right. But here's the thing, guys. I bring up the name Chad Shanks again for a reason. Because it's one thing if Daryl Morey does this, and he's going to survive. But you think about how many teams' social media accounts have made the wrong move. And Chad Shanks made one wrong move like this one time with the Rockets social media account. He lost his job.
But I think there's a big difference between the two, don't you?
I do. Obviously, there's a big difference, but I'm saying to say this.
One was good-natured fun and in the heat of the moment.
But he paid rival, the ultimate, and he, rival paid, versus and he lost rival. His job yeah. for it. So again, but I say that to say what I said earlier, which is when you're doing this whether you know, and in Chad's case, you really realize it. Daryl has to realize it too. You don't just represent yourself on social media. You represent the Rockets and the NBA, and you're finding out the hard way that what you put out there can and will be used against you, right, wrong, or indifferent, even if it's just your own personal opinion.
Yeah. Well, we got text. We've got calls. We'll get to that and more on the other side. Hey, real quick, though, I want to tell the folks about GetUpside. Man, I tell you what, I love seeing these texts and tweets about the money you guys are getting from GetUpside. I love seeing it. We got $12 on a new account. I love seeing it. If you haven't downloaded GetUpside yet, go do it right now. Go put it on your phone. It's completely free to download and install. It takes mere seconds to be up and running, and you could be getting cash back on your gas purchases and your food purchases through the GetUpside app. All you have to do is put it on your phone. Make sure you put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra cash back on your first fill up through the app. You're going to get a nice little bump there. Jake Asman got like $7 the first time he filled up because he used my promo code. And then after that, you're off and running. You can be like so many other listeners and people that have used the app and are getting cash back. Like I just said, somebody just said they sent me a screenshot that they got $12 in their account. They just started and they're already building money. And if you're out there in sales and you're driving around all day and you're putting gas in the car, you're eating out every day, boy, you are leaving money at the pump and leaving money at the gas at the table. Excuse me. If you're not using GetUpside, you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back on gas and up to 35% cash back on food. Guys, it's real money and it's your money. So do yourself a favor right now. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back as we wrap up hour number two, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you guys getting passionate today on a lot of different topics. Texans for one, this Daryl Morey Rockets thing for another. As we get back in the swing, having off yesterday and Friday, we wanted to catch up on some things we didn't get a chance to chime in on. So it's been fun. It's been good. So as we wrap up hour two, let's...
Couple texts real quick. Somebody said I had a diaper drive shower. I had a diaper shower poker tournament. When my Phoebe was born, it was $40 to enter the tournament. Winner splits the pot with the baby, and in order to get food and drinks, you had to bring diapers. So that's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, the daddy diaper party that the Rockets guys and Tony, the equipment manager for the Rockets, and all those guys did for me, that was cool. Was the fact that I didn't realize with our firstborn, mm-hmm. I had no idea what to go through with diapers and such. And then when you realize it, in the first couple of weeks, you're like, because a lot of people on Twitter were chiming in going, yeah, eight. As you said it, I was echoing it. I was like, yeah, and when I think about it now, because Taylor's big, you don't realize, you know, what you go through those first couple of weeks. So
Troy said, what was the link for it? So it's GoFundMe.com/babyblank, Troy. He said, Barry, I wanted to donate. So there you go. GoFundMe.com. Awesome.
I appreciate that. And we'll figure out a way, too, that we can make some donations to charity as well, too, because there's plenty of people out there that don't have the means for diapers. So
Aggie Joe had to hang up, but he texted the show and said, hey, Barry, I couldn't hold out anymore, but I did want to tell you, Dave Chappelle is playing a surprise show at the House of Blues tonight. Tickets go on sale at 3.
So random.
Yeah, last night he was at Rudyard's doing the open mic for 2 hours. He showed up
here
at like 11.
Town?
Yeah. So... Dusty Rhodes, who we have featured on this show, she runs the Rudyard's open mic, and she's good friends with Mo Ammer, who we've had on this show.
Yep.
And Mo apparently reached out to her and said, hey, Dave's in town. We're doing a pop-up show, and he wants a place to just go on stage for a couple hours. So they went to Rudyard's open mic at about 11:45. He did about 2 hours there. And then, there's a show today. Tickets go on sale at 3 for tonight's show at the House of Blues.
Did you know about it?
I didn't know anything about it, no. The first I heard of it was when people started posting pictures like, oh my God, Dave Chappelle's at the open mic.
You would have been there, right?
No, probably not.
No?
I mean, look, to be honest with you, it's funny because I'm in this little group, just a Facebook chat group with a few of my friends that are comics. And I was like, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 years ago, this would have been I would have geeked out. Uh-huh. I don't know that I'd do that anymore. I think in a way, this meeting so many celebrities over the years doing this job and other things and in comedy itself and featuring and working with some of the, you know, bigger names, it kind of loses its luster. It would have been cool to see him, but it wasn't like, I mean, some people are really geeking out about it, and I get it. I totally understand it. Just, no, I mean, I don't know. It wouldn't have been that big of a deal to me if I was there.
Does he do 2 hours like that just to try new material out?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's got ideas or things he wants to work on, and I'm sure he's just like, all right, I'm going to go up. I'm going to talk about these subjects. Because that's the beauty of being Dave Chappelle versus Barry Laminack, right? Like, when you're Dave Chappelle, you get the luxury of spending 2 hours on stage and just talking.
Yeah.
When you're not Dave Chappelle, you have to go up and be funny in your 3 to 5 minute set and really try to be as funny as possible, even working on new material. So, yeah, he's afforded that luxury, most definitely.
I mean, I thought the only thing that separated you and Dave Chappelle was a bank account and skinny jeans.
He wears skinny jeans, too. Don't get it twisted.
Does he?
That is literally the only thing me and Dave Chappelle haven't got.
Okay. All right, we'll roll through hour number 3 coming up next. We don't want you to go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.